We continue the Shir in Gemara. The Gemara says that the Nevi'im, the prophets that spoke about the future. A prophet is a seer who sees into the future or receives messages from Hashem, from heaven, with predictions for the future. Now we go through these prophets, these Nevi'im who speak about the future. They speak about a wonderful new type of life, a life of peace and harmony, and a life where there'll be no suffering of any kind, no illness, no wars, a heavenly, blissful type of life on earth. The Gemara says, what period of time are all these prophets referring to? When they describe this wonderful life, what time are they speaking of? The Gemara says that all the prophets, bar none, all of them, when they speak about this wonderful life in the future, they are referring to the time when Mashiach comes. Only then. And what happens afterwards? Olam Haba, that means either Gan Eden, that's Olam Haba, the heavenly life of the neshama, of the soul, or the Yosad Lavo, when after the dead come back to life and you have Gan Eden on this world, that we find no reference to in any of the books of the prophets. Why? Because it is impossible for any person, even a Navi, even a prophet, to describe what Gan Eden is like. No human being can conceive in his mind or orally the description of what Gan Eden is like. It's far too beautiful an item, far too above our conception in its wondrousness to be able to be described. So everything refers only to the days of Mashiach. The Gemara says that this statement, however, conflicts with the words of Shmuel. One of the rabbis, the Gemara, says it is not so, because the difference between life today and life when Mashiach comes is not the way we find described by the prophets. A world of no evil, a world of no sickness, a world of no sadness, a world of miracles. What today is a miracle will be commonplace then. For example, travel will be by clouds. Or, as the Gemara says, a person will have trees growing in his yard, his backyard, his garden. On this tree will grow the exact articles of clothing that he needs. Get clothing growing on trees, or he'll get dishes, utensils growing on trees. Each one will have his own needs. And of course, this means very simply that there'll be no necessity for money. You won't have to buy anything, you'll have everything at will. This, Shmuel says, is not so. This point he argues and says that there will be no difference between the time Mashiach comes and life today, except that the Jews will be a free people. They will not be hampered or harassed by other nations. They'll be a nation unto themselves, governing themselves according to the laws of the Torah. There will be peace on earth. But otherwise, everything will be normal and natural just as today. At this point, the Shmuel argues, and Tosfos notes that Shmuel does not mean literally exactly as today, because not there will be just peace, because naturally there will be also the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple will be built, and we will have Yerushalayim, we'll have Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. That point, of course, is an interesting item. It might be worth pointing out now that for many years this Tosfos was the guideline for those who felt strongly about the fact that having Israel as a country today, having the state of Israel, in no way meant that Mashiach had come, Chas v'Shalom. And proof was brought from this Tosfos. Because Tosfos says here that when Mashiach comes, we will have, note these words, they're extraordinary. Mashiach comes, we will have Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Which means that Tosfos implies very clearly that we will have Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes too. He does not say when Mashiach comes we'll have Eretz Yisrael. He says we'll have Yerushalayim, which means that we will have Israel, Eretz Yisrael, as ours even before Mashiach comes. Mashiach will come, then we'll have Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Until 1967, Six-Day War, this Tesis was brought as solid proof. Here we see that to fulfill the words of Tesis, we had that Eretz Yisrael, the 48 war, the Israeli fighters reached up to the walls of the old city. The second they got to those walls, they were about to conquer the old city, peace was declared. It was timed so that they claimed if they would have had 20 minutes more, they could have captured the old city. 20 minutes was the difference. 20 minutes more, they could have captured the old city. How come it was timed so exactly that the Israelis, in all their fury and battle, all their courage, were able to take the whole country, or that part of the country which they took, the entire new city of Yerushalayim, but they could not touch an inch within the walls of the old city Ir HaTikva. And that point was brought out in this Tesis, which says that when Mashiach comes, we will have what? We will have Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Proof. There it is. That you will not get it before Mashiach comes. Along came 67, and this puts sort of a dent into this theory. They did finally capture that war. They captured the old city of Yerushalayim. However, that dent is not for those who have real emunah, because, as is known, the difference between a very religious Jew and ones who are just patriotic is that we speak of looking forward to Lashona Haba. We have Yerushalayim today, we still say, the Jews there still say, Lashona Haba, B'Yerushalayim HaBenuyah. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim when it's HaBenuyah, when it's built up. Built up with what? With the heart. The lathe, the heart of Yerushalayim, is the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Shekhinah. That's what Tesis means. And Tesis, of course, is referring to, again, the statement of Shmuel. We must make it very clear that Rambam, in the Sefer Hayad, Hilchos Melachim, brings Shmuel's statement as a sort of a halacha. Rambam holds, concurs with Shmuel's statement that what? That when Mashiach comes, life will be very normal just as today. There will be no miracles, no miracle trees or anything else that will be different than nature is today, than the normal life is today. However, we must point out that all the Sifrei Kabbalah, the writings of Rabbi Elazar, the great Tzaddikim, hold definitely that Mashiach comes, it will be an era of Nisim, of miracles. It will not be normal life. There will be miracles throughout. That time comes, we'll have all the miracles promised to us by the Nevi'im, by the Tzedek Desha, the miracles of the battles at that time when the stars themselves will come down to attack the enemies of the Jews, to destroy these enemies. All of life will change to a series of miracles, a new type of life, far superior in every respect than we see today. This is what we look forward to in the coming of Mashiach. Now, the Gemara says further that another item, when the Nevi'im, when the prophets predicted good for the Jews, reward for the Jews, the prophets spoke about which Jews? The Jews who had committed sins and had repented. They had done tshuva. They are known as Baalei Tshuva. All these rewards that are in store for good Jews who did tshuva, who repented for their sins, this is what the prophets speak about. The reward that is in store for tzaddikim, a tzaddik is not about tshuva. Remember this point. The word tzaddik means one who lived all his life without committing sins. Well, let's say without committing any sizable sin, without committing a sin deliberately, at least. At worst, he might have committed a sin accidentally or unintentionally. But tzaddik is one who lived all his life without sin. For a poor Jew like that, who was obedient and loyal to Hashem and the Torah all his life, there is no description for his reward. The description we find in the Book of Prophets as reward for the Jews deals only with those Jews who are Baalei Tshuva, repentant. But the tzaddik is at a much higher level. The Gemara says again, this statement is in direct conflict with Rabbi Avohu. The Gemara says that Rabbi Avohu holds that, on the contrary, a tzaddik who lived all his life and never committed a sin cannot compare to a Baal Tshuva. It is much greater to have sinned and repented than never to have sinned at all. Why? Why is it better to have stained one's record and then washed it off, cleared it, rather than have a pure white record throughout? The answer is that one who committed a sin, one who was lured, tempted into sin by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination, and tasted the sweetness of that sin, who tasted that temptation, and despite that never repeated it again, he is far greater than one who never had to go through that temptation in the first place, or one who was tempted and not fall victim. Because once a person fell victim, there is a much greater lure for him to go back to this temptation than one who was never tempted by it at all. Rav says, therefore, that a Baal Tshuva stands higher than a tzaddik, and therefore his credit, his reward, is even more than that of a tzaddik too. Rabbi Gemara adds a third case. Again, the rewards that the prophets speak about are ones that are conceivable. We can understand. It describes wondrous items for those who are good. The Gemara says, all this reward the prophets promise are referred to a person who tries his best to attach himself to a Talmud Chacham, to a learned sage. If he has a daughter, he'll do his best to marry off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, to one who is learned. Talmud Chacham, of course, means one who is learned in Gemara. And or one who helps, who assists a Talmud Chacham from his own property, from his own wealth. He sees to give money to support a Talmud Chacham. One like that, this person deserves all the rewards that the prophets speak about. What about the Talmud Chacham himself? That is beyond description. Again, we have this comparison. But we say that a person who is intent upon helping a Talmud Chacham, or intent upon becoming close to him through marriage, this refers to a person who is neither a tzaddik nor even a Baal Tshuva, but he has that much respect for a Ben Torah, that person deserves all the reward that is spoken of by the prophets. We now go back to the original statement we began at the beginning of this chapter, Chelik. We said that every Jew has a Chelik apart in Gan Eden, except the limited types committed certain sins that are unpardonable and who will never get to Gan Eden. They are permanently doomed, everlastingly. Very few, of course, and this naturally means those who committed these sins, these individual sins, without repenting. If a person did tshuva, tshuva can erase any sin. There does not exist a crime. There exists no crime or sin on earth that could not be erased through tshuva, through repentance. But if a person did not repent for his sins, then he pays for it and suffering in the afterworld, but he still gets to get eaten eventually, except those few mentioned in the Mishnah. One of those, the Mishnah said, was a person who does not believe that the Torah is from heaven. person does not believe the Torah is given by Hashem, he believes the Torah is written by man, chas v'shalom, then his penalty is so great that never in an eternity can he ever get to Gan Eden. He is doomed to the punishment, the suffering of Gehenna forever. Now the Gemara explains this more in detail. The Gemara says we have this from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Ki devad Hashem bozo. He has disgraced the word of Hashem. He kodes tikodes. His soul shall be cut off and cut out eternally from all future life. The Gemara says that this sentence, the wording used, he disgraced the word of Hashem. The Gemara says, note that it says word, singular. This means that if a person says he believes that every single word of the Torah, Torah means the Chumash, the Nevi'im, the Book of Prophets, and the Gemara, the oral Torah. He believes that every single word of the entire Torah is the word of Hashem, except one word, one single word that he believes was not directly the word of Hashem, but the word of not an ordinary person, but Moshe Rabbeinu, greatest tzaddik that ever lived. Person who says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote one word by himself in the entire Torah that exists, that person is Devad Hashem Bozo. He disgraced the word, one word of Hashem of the entire Torah. He is already considered as cut off from future life. The Gemara adds, there's another case of Devad Hashem Bozo, and that is a person who learns Torah and refuses to teach Torah. He is in a capacity where he could spread his knowledge, help others. He refuses to impart from this knowledge to others. How do we arrive at that point? Because it says Devar Hashem. The word means a spoken word. There are two types of senses. Hearing, Shmiel, the power of hearing, that means the power of learning. Power of speaking, that's the power of teaching. It does not say that he disgraced hearing Torah, but he disgraced the word, the spoken word. He learned, and then he refused to give of himself to others, and therefore he is considered a kefir, because he wants to hold the Torah for himself. The Torah was given to all Jews, that means that those who have it should share it with others. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha states that a person who learns Torah and does not review it, of course he will tend to forget it. One who learns, does not bother to review, it is the same as one who plants and does not bother to harvest. In other words, all his efforts are in vain. What is the use of spending days and days and bent over the ground, planting seeds in the ground, never coming back to harvest the crop? All that effort is wasted. A person who studies Torah does not review what he learned, it all disappears. So all the original effort that he spent in the study is gone. Rabbi Yeshua says, this is Rabbi Yeshua Bachananya, who says that a person who learns Torah and chas v'shalom forgets what he learns, this is comparable to a isha mishakela. Chas v'shalom, a woman who gives birth and then a child dies. She gives birth again, the child dies. What is the use of all this labor, carrying of a child so many months, going through the pains of childbirth? All that effort, all that struggle is completely wasted with the child who dies. When a child dies, there is suffering, but the Gemara says after a period of time, the dead are ultimately forgotten. This refers to a person who struggles, learns Torah, he gives birth to new ideas, and then he forgets what he learned. It's the same as having this birth gone, it dies. And of course, the answer for that, the solution is to review. The person reviews the Torah enough times, then he will remember it. Gemara tells us Chagiga, the person who learns an item of Torah for 100 times thinks he has done enough, he has not, because he has unwittingly reached the very point, the limits of the last line of Shikha, forgetting. A person who learns one more time, one who learns an item 101 times, is assured that he will not forget what he learned. 101 corresponds to the Malach, the angel of Zikaron, remembrance, the Malach Michael, Zbigimatria 101, whereas the Samach Mem, the Satan, Zbigimatria 100. One who learns 100 times will forget. One who learns 101 times will remember. Rabbi Akiva says, therefore, that Zemer Bechol Yom, Zemer Bechol Yom, which means that like a person who sings a tune, a song, wherever he goes, he keeps singing this tune. Akiva says, let the Torah be like a tune to you. Sing it wherever you go. Review the Torah that you learn. Discuss the Torah wherever you go. By discussing, by speaking of it, by reviewing it, it will not leave you. Where will it not leave you? In Olam Haba. In the future world, you will come there and find that the Torah is there waiting to reward you. Imagine a person coming to Gan Eden with a whole stock, an inventory of Torah. How wonderfully proud he is and how good it is for him there. Plus, the Mikiva says, aside from the fact that you have a Torah comes back to you, arranged in perfect order for yourself, the Torah also will work for you. That one who keeps studying and reviewing Torah constantly, the Torah itself will suddenly reveal itself to you, reveal its innermost secrets. A person may learn for a long time and finally see the same item he reviewed so many times suddenly becomes much clearer. There's a whole new vista that opens up, a panorama of new ideas in the same words he learned. For example, you take the very first sentence of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim. That first word, Bereishis, a person, a child, learns it. It means in the beginning. A person goes further, he learns that the word Bereishis has many more meanings. Bereishis is a composition of a number of words. Especially the first mitzvah, the most important mitzvah in the Torah, is respect for Shabbos. Respect for Shabbos is Yorei Shabbos. Two words, Yorei Shabbos, the six letters. The word Bereishis, juggled around, is the words Yorei Shabbos. Many, many others. In addition to all this, we have a Zayin HaKadosh who goes into a special Sefer, 70 chapters on that one word Bereishis alone. So this means that the more a person studies, the more he finds in the words of Torah. Why does he find so much? Because Hashem himself is infinite, endless. And every part of Hashem is infinite too. Just as Hashem is Ein Sof infinite, so are the words of Hashem infinite in wisdom. The Torah is the words of Hashem. So the Gemara says that where do we see this too? We speak about a person who struggles and learns Torah constantly. This is found in a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki okaf olav pihu. Okaf olav pihu. A person bent his mouth, all power to study Torah. That means he directed his mouth purely for the study of Torah. That person is the one who will have the benefits of Torah always. And this pasuk, of course, hints at the point we spoke about. Okaf is bigimetria 101, olav kaf pei. That means he studies Torah 101 times, and also Pihu is also 101. We have twice in the very pasuk the stress. You study 101 times, it'll bring you to the Malach Michael, who will repay you manyfold with the secrets of Torah. Now the Gemara says that there is a pasuk ki odom le'omol yulat. Again, a person, Eov. Remember Eov in his sad state when he spoke very tragically and he said how bitter is a man's lot. He said, Ki Adam le'omo yulad, the person is born to struggle. Do not think that this world is so pleasant. Abenazal says, and it pays to stress this point, Abenazal says that there is allegedly, sounds strange to say that, allegedly means there is supposed to be, it's supposed to be Olam Haba, that means Gan Eden. There is supposed to be Olam Hazeh, that means this world. And they're supposed to be Gehenna. That means the place of suffering. It's supposed to be three things. The Medrash says, Gan Eden, we are sure of. A Jew who has faith will stake his life on it gladly. That Gan Eden exists. We believe in it implicitly. That there is Gehenna, we don't believe. We know. Why? Because this world is Gehenna. That's where we live right now. We're living in Gehenna. The third item, Olam Hazeh, this world, that we have to believe is someplace, it's not here. That requires a Muna also. But Gan Eden we believe in, Gehenna we see. Now this is, in a sense, what the Pasuk implies. Ki Odom Le'omol Yulad, a person is born to struggle. No person can go through this world and have a paradise of it. He's born with struggle, with worries, with trepidations, with tribulations, whether it's himself or members of his family. No person has life smoothly. One person has one kind of suffering, a different another kind of suffering, but in a sense, every person feels a tinge of Gehenna during his lifetime. Some more and some less, but all struggle. The Gemara says, since Titus says a person must struggle, let's find out what this struggle is all about. What is he supposed to struggle with? It seems like it's a mitzvah struggle. Does this struggle mean orally, in speaking, or does it mean in work, in action? But then the Pasuk says, Ki okaf olav pi, a person should bend his mouth, should confine himself to speaking. We know that the struggle is the mitzvah of a person's struggle in speaking, in speech. Confine yourself to speech. Again, we do not know whether this speech means regular speech, or sicha, which means speaking, or words of Torah. The Pasuk says, Le'yomush seva Torah picha, the words of Torah should not cease to come from your mouth. We now know that the meaning of this sentence is a person is born to struggle, and he should struggle with words of Torah, with words which are words of Torah. Struggle should be the study Torah. Mashal says that ki odom le'omol yulat, which means that you have to struggle in the study of Torah, but there has to be a purpose for it. Le'omol is the words lumod amanas lasos, to learn on condition to carry out. You don't just learn. Just learning, saying the words of Torah are not sufficient. You must learn on condition to fulfill the Torah. Lasos kol alamed. Either one is a mitzvah in action. Now, since a person, every person, is born to struggle in this world, then how pitiful it is for those people who struggle like animals. They get up in the morning, they go out to their chores, their work, how pitiful they are in going to their place of work or business. They work all day long for the sake of being able to bring home some food to the table, eat this food in order to have strength to go back tomorrow again and work, be able to buy more food so they can go back to work again and buy still more. And this is the cycle, the vicious cycle of lifetime. They are fulfilling the pasuk, a person is born to struggle. It's a very nice struggle, but how fortunate are those who, if you do have to struggle, at least struggle with words of Torah, for which you receive an abundance of schar, reward, forever. There are some who interpret these words to mean, person is born to struggle. We do not know if this struggle is orally, words, or in action. This means action, which means that we do not know. Here we come to the same discussion that we find very often throughout the Gemara. Which struggle is better, or which direction should a person take better? If he has a choice to do mitzvahs or to study Torah. A person can do mitzvahs by going out, raising money for tzedakah, helping others. Where a person could sit within the confines of yeshiva and study Torah, which is greater? The studying of Torah or the carrying out of the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah? Between the two, who gets more reward? So, Gemara answers, that we find that the speech or the oral part is greater than the action. Speaking is greater than action. However, the Gemara asks, does this mean speaking sicha or words of Torah? The Gemara answers words of Torah. What do we mean now? Speaking all words of Torah. We've just established that we're speaking about items that are holy. The answer is, the Gemara says no, that since we have determined that the peh, the use of the mouth, words, are better than action, which words are we referring to? There are two kinds of good words. Words of tefillah, davening, or words of Torah. We have these two to compare now. We know that words are better than mitzvahs. But between the two types of words, davening and learning, which of the two is better? We have to compare these two. Of course, it's best to have both. Yafet Talmud Torah im derecheres, derecheres begimatria tefillah. Good to have both Torah and tefillah. But if you have a choice, we have to measure which one is greater between Torah and tefillah. The Gemara says that Torah is greater. Words of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal bring that this is meant. Again, we've discussed this before. We'll just touch on it very lightly. This refers to regular tefillah. A person who davens to Hashem and says, Hashem, help me that I may be able to earn a living, I may have good health. I don't expect this to come by nature or by itself or by a doctor to have good health, Chas v'Shalom, because they provide the opposite. I ask the source of blessings, I ask Hashem in tefillah and prayer for good health and a livelihood. This is a mitzvah, tefillah. Why do I want good health? Why do I want money? So I can be able to serve Hashem with it. I want to be able to serve Hashem so I can have money to give charity, to send my children to yeshiva, to buy tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzahs, items of kedusha, and this way to serve Hashem. In this case, tefillah is very great, but Torah is still greater. Because Torah is the actual action. The actual money of Torah is better than having to work and ultimately get to Torah. There he's davening to earn money so he can get to Torah for his children or for himself. There is a tefillah that is higher than Torah, and that is when a person davens not for physical well-being, but purely for spiritual. The person says, "Lefo'eino Hashem v'neido fein ish v'nesra." Hashem, cure me. He does not refer to his physical, I have a cold, or have an internal ailment, and I want to be healthy so I can learn more Torah. He says, no, my prayer is, cure my neshama. Because I know my neshama is very weak, very ill, has been very much neglected. It's diseased. Cure my neshama, and I can serve you better. Hashiveinu, bring me back to you. Bring me closer to you to be a better servant, to be a more loyal and obedient follower. This is the kind of tefillah that's purely spiritual. A tefillah like this is even greater than the study of Torah. This is not what the Gemara refers to here. The regular tefillah, the Gemara says, Torah is greater, but there is a tefillah that stands even higher than Torah. The Gemara says that we're speaking about those who commit sins for which they lose their Elam Haba. The Gemara tells of Menashe ben Cheskio, King Menashe, who had committed a certain sin that is included in this type. Of course, we had learned about Menashe in history. We'll have much more about Menashe later on to find out that he turned out to be very great because his power of tshuva reached the ultimate. Meanwhile, the Gemara speaks about this sin that was committed in that he mocked the words of Torah. Because he said, the Pasuk Chumash we find, speaking about Esau's descendants, family of Esau, Turks, the Arabs, Aluf Esau, the princes in that family, royal family. Torah goes into such detail, the Achais Leiton Timna, the sister of Leiton was Timna, and then the Timna Esau Pilegish Le'alifaz, Timna was a secondary wife to Eliphaz, the son of Esau. So he asked, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these words, he had nothing better to write. We have to know about the sister of Leitel was Timna, was the Pelegish, not the wife, but the Pelegish of Esav, of Eliphaz. All these words in the Torah, when it comes to important words, when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, you have one single sentence. Then you have mountains and mountains of laws based on that one sentence. When it comes to this item about the descendants of Esav, there's plenty of room to write a lot of words. This he marked. The Gemara says that this, of course, is a very serious crime against the Emunah of the Torah. Naturally, as an example, the Gemara, the Zayin Kodesh, the Yerushalmi tells us that Biachim and Zakkai took one sentence in the Torah, a sentence that speaks also about the kings, Malachim Shemochu, kings that ruled before the Jews, also the part of Esav. These kings with very strange names, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai learned thousands of laws in reference to facts, secrets of Torah, in reference to these eight kings. They referred to the Sfidais found in the Chumash itself. So therefore every word of the Torah has in it very deeply, extremely deep secrets, Kabbalah secrets. Here the Gemara says, let's at least satisfy the ordinary layman. What does the Torah really mean when it tells us that Timna became the secondary wife of Eliphaz? What does the Torah mean to teach us? There must be a moral lesson in this. The Gemara explains that Timna was from this family of royalty, of Esav. She was the princess in the royal family, and she decided to come to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov to become converted. She asked them to convert her. And she said, I would much rather be a maid to the fathers of the Jews than a princess and royalty among the Goyim. I'd much rather have that. However, she was rejected. All three of the fathers of the Jews rejected her, refused to accept her, refused to convert her, and so she turned to Eliphaz, the son of Esav, and said, he meant she was not royalty from the family of Esav, royalty from a different family. She said, I would rather be a maid, secondary wife, to even this nation of Esav, even Esav too. At least Esav is the son of Yitzhak Avinu. At least he comes from Avraham Avinu. Better to be a small part in this type of nation than royalty in the other one. Now, because of this, she gave birth to a son because she was rejected by the Jews. Retribution was taken from them. She gave birth to a son who tormented the Jews for generations and generations later. He gave birth to Amalek. From her came forth Amalek, who was the nemesis of the Jews and continues to be so until Moshiach comes, when Hashem himself will destroy that tribe of Amalek. And this, of course, teaches us again the importance, as the Mishnah says, it is much better to be the tail of a lion rather than the head of a fox, which means that it is better to be attached to the lion. Now, as the Gemara says, Zayin Kodesh brings that the lion cubs, the small cubs, when they are left alone, they are vulnerable. They can be attacked by wild beasts of the forest, or they can be attacked by men. But woe is to the one that attacks these little lion cubs when the lioness comes back to her lair and she finds anyone tampering with these cubs. This means when the Jews are in Golis and they are harassed, they are tortured, they are persecuted by the different nations. The lion, kaviyochel, is away from the den at that time. The Shekhinah has left. Hashem has forsaken the Jews temporarily. When Hashem comes back to collect his young, to collect his children, woe is to those nations, to those enemies of the Jews who dared to strike at them. And therefore, even at a time when the Jews are suffering and when other nations are succeeding so well, other nations are enjoying the greatest prosperity, the greatest good fortune, it is much better to be part, the end part of this select nation, than even the heads, the royalty of the other nations. Same thing too, Nussensal stresses throughout, that a person might have the temptation to study Torah and to become a rabbi, to become a big rabbi, a very learned one. Of course, there is kavod, honor attached to it. In most cases, of course, there's very little honor nowadays. There's so little honor, in fact, that the lowest man in the shul today is the rabbi. He's the employee of any member of the shul. He's degraded constantly. He's ordered about to do, to serve, sometimes to clean up the shul. This is the degree that the covenant of Torah has reached nowadays. But as should be, case of a Talmud Chacham who is learned, then there is sometimes, at times, there is that temptation to become a great Talmud Chacham, a learned sage, and thereby to receive the honors covered for his knowledge. Here Rabbi Elazar says that this means he is a Talmud Chacham, he is a Rebbe, he is Mefursam, he's famous, but he is the head of a fox. He's great, he's a fox. How much better off he would be if he removed this mantle of so-called greatness, instead of being known as a Chacham, as the wise one, as a leader. How much better off he would be to become a Talmud Chacham, the student of a true Chacham, close to a Tzaddik Emes. Better to be the smallest part of a Tzaddik Emes, the smallest, lowest follower of a Tzaddik Emes, than to be the leader, to be a Tzaddik She'ena Gomer, a Tzaddik who is not a true Tzaddik. For he has followers himself, he is on top, leading others, he is nowhere as near as well off as one who is the smallest one in the group of the followers of a Tzaddik Emes, because he is considered the tail end of the Tzaddik Emes. The tail end of a lion is still part of that lion. The head part of a fox, even the head, is still only a fox. And that's why Menazel stresses this point, that a person should be zecher to become a member of this true family of royalty, of the Jews, and of the Jews who study Torah, the Jews who have this true emunah, faith in Hashem, emunah in the tzaddikim amitiyim, especially in the Tzaddik Emes, because for those Jews, there is an eternal future to look forward to. Hashem will avenge the suffering of his children, his followers, and that shortly will be seen by those who deserve. We should be zechut to that, to see the coming of Mashiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Yeshua Kol Yisrael, Yehuda, Amen, Be Amen.